Welcome back to Jesus Joy and Just a Little Chaos. We're so glad you're here. Today we're talking about something every parent knows all too well, parenting in the storm. Because let's be honest, some days feel less like gentle parenting and more like just trying to survive the meltdown, the backtalk, or the sleepless nights. The truth is, storms are part of parenting, but so is grace. In this episode, we're keeping it real, sharing the hard stuff, the messy stuff, and the ways we've learned to cling to faith when parenting feels overwhelming.
Welcome back, guys and gals. It has been a week. Today we are talking about parenting in the storm, finding grace in those tough times of parenting.
Well, I would say this is a subject matter we have quite a bit of experience in, right?
Yep.
I think we could probably make a 3-hour long podcast about all of the stormy, chaotic things that happen.
More like a novel.
Yeah, we could do that too. So since we have such a wide variety to choose from, I'll go first, but I'll let you pick. Should we talk about our schedule nightmares, or should we talk about sensory disasters first?
I think we could get the scheduling out quicker than the sensory stuff. So let's start with the scheduling disaster.
Okay, so our schedule is usually an unmitigated disaster in general, right?
Yeah.
Well, our 12-year-old had middle school orientation this past week, and he got braces. How long ago did he get braces?
A couple months ago, I believe.
Yeah, maybe 2 months ago. So he's still adjusting to those. And over the weekend, because of course everything happens on a weekend when nobody's available to reach when you have a problem, right? Orientation was at 9 a.m. We live how far from his school?
About 30 minutes.
Yeah. So we left the house and I decided on the way I was going to make a phone call to the orthodontist because our son had like some swelling in his cheek and a lot of pain from the braces. And I called the doctor and they said, can you bring him in at 8:45? And what time was this, love? Maybe like 8:30?
8:20.
Yeah, 8:20. So the orthodontist is even farther away than the school, so we had zero chance of making it there at 8:45. And of course, the only appointment they had the entire day was 8:45. So I had to call the school, let the school know we were going to be late for orientation. We were late for the orthodontist appointment. We had to go in, have wires trimmed and things like that, and take care of all of that. And by the time we got to orientation, we were, what, about a half an hour late?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was super stressful. We don't prefer to be late anywhere. You hate it much more than I do, though.
Oh, yes, I do. And then I had to sit through orientation while you were taking care of other things on the phone in the car. So I had to sit through the boring orientation.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. But as usual, constant chaos. So one of our kids had a problem with their health insurance. So I had to sit in the car for an hour and a half on hold, getting the health insurance straightened around. And Zach was none too happy about sitting in the boring orientation.
Thank God for solitaire on my phone.
Lucky you got a signal. Half the time that place is the land of cell phone death, but
just a testament to T-Mobile. Also, T-Mobile has a great customer service. Not even that we're not sponsored, but gotta say, T-Mobile has some great customer service, don't they?
They do have good customer service. Hit us up, T-Mobile. We're open, right?
Yeah, I honestly tell everybody about T-Mobile because for one, they have decent prices. And you talk to like an actual person and they're willing to work with you. So like sometimes when you like we've fallen behind before and you're able to do a payment arrangement where you pay one half of the bill at like a few. What is it? Usually like a week or so later, and then another half. Getting off topic, but just had to speak to that.
Just a heads up, guys. Today's podcast is not sponsored by T-Mobile, but I think it should be. Anyway, that is just a really small snippet of how often our schedule just gets completely interrupted. And I have to say, I try really hard to be really organized. I think the problem comes in when my ADD forgets what day is what date. And then I forget that Thursday is the 17th. So somebody says, are you free on Thursday? And I say yes. And somebody else says, are you free on the 17th? And I say yes. And then it all kind of falls apart. But Zach can tell you we have, roughly 35 calendars throughout the house.
That and the fact that you don't think about time as well as I do. So she'll have an appointment set for, let's say, 9 a.m. somewhere. And then she has another appointment set for like 10:15. It's like those places are not like 15 minutes in between. And even if it is, you're not allowing for any wiggle room.
I do try to cram as much as possible into a day, but to my defense, we have more appointments in a week than almost hours in a week. So I have to do a lot of juggling.
What? We usually have almost two appointments a day or at least one. There's
at minimally. Well,
on average, because there's like one or two days that we don't have an appointment, but there's something going on. So like, Thursday nights, which today we're recording on a Thursday, so in a little bit here, I have to go to training for the fire department, and that's 7 to 9. And then on Friday, I have, not this Friday, but on Fridays that I serve for the tech booth for the church, I go there because they do like band practice / sound check. And Mondays are my probie days. If I go on a Monday, it's 7 to 9 p.m. or Saturday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. So that's just that. That's not including other things we got to do.
Well, we have one kiddo in specialized physical therapy. She goes once a week, and that appointment is over an hour away. We have our little one who does speech and occupational therapy four times a week between the two of them, not each.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have sporting events, cheer practices, football games to attend. Soccer season's ramping up. Dad's coaching again this year.
Mm-hmm. And I say that not because I don't enjoy coaching my son or coaching in general. It's dealing with the league at times and other teams, you know, but we'll leave it at that. It is fun and the kids enjoy it. So, you know, gotta do what you gotta do.
It definitely makes our schedule insane. And now with back to school time coming, there's going to be the book fair and muffins with mom and open houses, meet the teacher.
Oh my gosh, open houses.
Open houses are not our favorite. Our first one's next week, by the way, in case you didn't know.
Well, we only have to do one open house, actually. Because...
No, Bella, and then...
Oh, two.
Yeah.
But we only have to do one in the school that has no air conditioning.
Oh yeah.
Which is ridiculous that there's no air conditioning in that building. They don't even put on fans when we come.
Yeah, there's like 600 people running through the hallways and it is so unpleasant.
I don't know how they don't have funding for that. It's ridiculous.
It is. Yeah.
Especially when I won't go too much into it, but working at the fire department, I know people that work in the township and board and whatnot. So I know there is quite a lot of money that comes in from the multiple dispensaries we have around here. So there is income in our town. It's just everybody knows about politics, so I'm not going to get into it.
For sure. I think it's, I know our kids complain probably through October about how hot it is at school.
Yeah.
So it might be freezing outside in the early, you know, part of October, even the end of September. It might be really cold when we're sending them to school, but we do still send them in shorts and t-shirts with a layered hoodie they can take off later because it gets stifling in there. I can't imagine trying to learn in that environment all day.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
We run pretty quickly out of that open house.
Yeah, almost everybody does. One of he's an officer now. One of my officers at the fire department, one of his kids goes to the same school. And when we see each other, we're like, yep, trying to get out of here as fast as possible. And it's usually a conversation that we have the next day or something when we see each other.
Yeah, it's really quite terrible. So we're coming into back to school season and it's just going to get even worse on our schedule. And like we said, fall sports too, that puts a real damper. I'd say once sports come into play, we don't get any downtime at all.
Not really.
7 days a week. Yeah,
I will be happy for winter. I think I said that last episode or one of the episodes. I know I've mentioned that.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think is the toughest thing about our schedule?
Just how much is in it? Because not only do we try to do extracurricular things, there's just so much that we have to do appointment wise. We have 5 kids that live here. We have 6 altogether. So just trying to fit all of it in on top of the other things that we're doing it's fun.
I don't think it's fun at all. I think it's super stressful. And then we try to meet our obligations at the church and try to find time for recreational things. I know our kids say to us often that we don't do enough fun things. And
yes and no. They do and don't. It just depends on what season we're in. You know, yeah, we go do fun things. But also this past summer, yeah, we haven't done as much as we usually do because I was out of work for so long and you were out of work for so long due to medical reasons.
Yeah.
So we weren't able to do as much this summer as we would usually do. It's been a lot of ketchup lately.
It has.
Whole lot of ketchup all over that hot dog. I'm trying to like tap the end of the bottle to get all the ketchup out. So Jen's gonna probably try to stop laughing now so she can continue or say something real raw.
So that long-winded thing was to say that's definitely a storm that we face a lot, is just our scheduling. And another really tough thing we go through is our 16-year-old daughter's sensory issues. She has very severe sensory processing disorder.
And she also has bowel issues, which is a real struggle and something that it's a lot. It adds a lot more work than you would usually have to do in a day, a lot more to clean.
Yeah, she has a bowel condition so severe that we've had to take her to have surgery for it in the past.
Yep. So, and I think that's also part of her sensory, because you know, when she's not having a problem as bad with it, you don't have as much, I wouldn't say to deal with, but issues. You know, you don't have fecal matter on the toilet seat that you have to clean up because she doesn't realize to clean it, you know. And when she's going through that, she also tends to use a towel, and then you have to immediately put that in the laundry and get it cleaned. And then there's a lot that she deals with. So it's some of that. It's having to make sure there's a special sheet on her bed, changing her sheets. And then it gets to points sometimes that we just have to replace the mattress because there's only so much you can do.
Yeah, having a child, with both urinary and bowel incontinence is really tough.
I think she's moved past the urinary problems for the most part, to be honest. As she's gotten older, it's more of the bowel issues because she also is trying to retain. So it when she can't hold it anymore, it starts coming out. And that's the problem that runs into it because she is older and she doesn't want to have to wear a diaper, but sometimes she has to. And if she doesn't, then you have things that you got to clean even more. So,
yeah. And I think that's relevant to talk about because it's a stress. Because every time you turn around, there's a mess to clean up. And it's also a financial burden because we go through a disgusting amount of laundry soap, body soap, bathroom cleaner.
And some of the body soap isn't her like washing herself. She plays with it or plays with it in the sink, and you'll come back to a sink that's got some kind of concoction, you know? So it's not only that she may be trying to clean herself, because more or less she usually likes to take baths. And that's another thing, is you got to monitor that, because she will either move around and splash and then there's water all over the floor, or she doesn't realize that she's got to change the water out, to not be too descriptive. But there's that. And, you know, trying to teach her modesty when it comes to taking a bath, to not have the shower curtain open and shut it, you know. And that's another thing that's hard, is like, we have a boy that's about to be 13, and yeah, it's his sister, but it's still, she has developed, so it's not like a little sister running around, you know. It's
a full grown woman.
Yeah.
And it's very characteristic of persons with autism to, you know, disrobe. And they do it frequently because they don't have that social awareness.
Exactly.
And so, you know, we're constantly on guard. I don't think we ever get a moment where we're able to actually let our guard down and relax, because you just can't. It could be an overflowing bathtub. It could be a, you know, not clothed young woman running around. And that also, in a lot of ways, hinders our social life as well, because we can't really have company come over, because at any moment we could have a grown woman body that is running around that is not clothed. And that's one thing that is really challenging, and we diligently work with her.
Pretty much, if we do have someone over, we have to have her sitting out on the couch, because she won't just strip right there. So if we have her out on the couch, or if we do a bonfire, she needs to be outside, or people not coming until we make sure that she's dressed, and then they can go use the bathroom if they need to use the bathroom or something.
Yeah, it's limiting. But at the same time, I think this is one of the hardest parts of being a special needs parent, is that you want to be angry about it. You're kind of angry about it, but then you also feel guilty because she can't help it. And if we had to live with the struggles she lived with, I mean, I guess at the end of the day, taking her clothes off isn't the worst thing she could do, but it's a very difficult mix of emotions, I would say.
Yeah. And, you know, God has put us in the place to be here to take care of her, and gives us the strength to deal with it from day to day, because it, even me as being her father for 4 years, I still get burnout from it.
Mm-hmm.
And Jenna's been doing it for 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'd still do a lot with her, but there's still times that I'm like, I need a break. And there's not too much of a break. And there used to be somewhat of a break when she would go spend time with her father. We'd get a little bit, but that stopped because where she was going was not the best for her. So I'd rather not get that little bit of a break than her being in a situation that's not comfortable for her.
That's what makes you such an incredible dad.
Yeah.
But it's hard. It's really hard. We don't get a minute to be carefree. It's always on to the next thing. It's always thinking of the next thing. It's always thinking ahead. There are no, or should I say, very few spontaneous things that happen around here.
Also with that comes the strain of when she gets into food. So it's not a matter of that she eats too much. It's that she gets into stuff and starts playing with it and starts making concoctions and just eating Gatorade powder or eating mashed potato powder when there is tons of stuff for her to eat that she could. And then half the time she's making a concoction that she's not going to eat. She will just put a whole bunch of stuff and just mix and play with it for sensory. So that's another thing that we come into, or that she wants mac and cheese and she just opens up the box and throws it everywhere and just eats the cheese out of it. So that's another thing that becomes an issue. Or there's snacks and she will just eat all the snacks or hoard the snacks and just bring them into her room and hide them, and then you don't know because you're not constantly checking under her bed or next to it or under the blanket. She will hide stuff, and there's times where she doesn't even eat it. Like she usually eats cheese, and then there's times where she doesn't open it. She just plays with it and then leaves it throws it on the corner of the bed, and then you're like, oh, great, look at this. Or she will, like, lick something, and then after she's done with it, just throw it on the floor, and then it gets stuck to the floor by the time you get to it.
Mm-hmm.
We've also had to let everyone know, if you get her paint, do not get her acrylic, because she will get it all over everything.
And to be clear, I think we're just trying to talk about some of the raw issues that parents in our situation face. Our daughter's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
She's one of the most talented artists I've seen.
Yeah, her expression and her art is just amazing. And that's something that I think we might eventually do a mini-sode is, or maybe even a poll, is I've talked to Jen about letting Bella do her art and selling it for her. Not money for us to have, but to go towards her supplies and things that she likes. And, you know, it's a little bit of a touchy subject for us. So that's something we will probably touch on. What do you think? Do you think we should do like a mini-sode of that or a poll?
We could definitely do a social media poll, like, and see what people think. I'm just always very careful to never exploit our children.
Yeah, I don't ever plan on saying, hey, this is our daughter who has autism, and this is what we do to, we sell this to make money for her art supplies. No, it's just going to be Bella by Art, or Bella by Art, Art by Bella.
And that's something we can definitely talk about. I mean, she's got a really cool way of expressing herself. And, you know, they talk about savant-like characteristics, you know, can be a thing for persons with autism. And music lessons is my next thing for Bella, because she took them when she was 2. And without any knowledge of music or notes, she obviously couldn't read music. She, after hearing a piano teacher play a set of notes one time, was able to replicate it perfectly after only hearing it one time. And I think that could be another really great form of expression too.
Yeah, she likes when I play the guitar, but I think she would do great with the piano. And that's why I can't wait till we get our new home so we have space for a piano, because that's something I was actually going to talk to you about, is getting into that, is getting either a piano for the living room or a really nice electric piano with weighted keys.
Yeah, for sure. So we don't mean to make it sound like we are in any way, shape, or form being negative. I think we're just trying to be really, really honest.
Yeah, I don't feel it came off negative, but I also am neurodivergent. So it's not a negativity. It's just those are the struggles of it. There is a lot of fun things where Bella and I go out and do stuff together. Like, she is one of my buddies. She most of the time will want to go do something.
And can I, if it's okay with you, if I share this, you're going through the process of being diagnosed on the spectrum as well.
Yeah, well, we got to find the right person to do that. It's been talked about by quite a few doctors and professionals.
Right. And I say that to say that I think it's extra hard for you some days because some of her behaviors trigger some of yours.
Yeah.
And so it's like sometimes some of her idiosyncrasies are completely, what's the word I'm looking for, love? They're just completely triggering to your idiosyncrasies.
Oh, yeah. Like, I have major OCD, and so does she, but it's a total different kind of OCD. So she likes to pile all of her stuff in one spot and not have it clean, and she gets upset when I clean her room, because she's like, what the heck? It's change. Well, it needs to be clean. Daddy can't stand it not being clean. That drives me up a wall.
Yeah.
And constantly having to clean for me is just, oh my gosh, it gets to me. But I love her more than anything. I keep going. I don't ever go, oh no, I don't want to be here or take care of her or take part. I don't go, oh nope, I'm done. I'm not doing anything with her. It's just sometimes I'm like, I gotta step back. And I think that's fair enough. And that's something I want to talk to, is the fact that it's okay to be frustrated. It's kind of like God with us. I'm sure, even though he's all loving and all knowing, he gets frustrated because we choose to walk in a way that we're not supposed to a lot of times with a lot of things.
Sure. He's as much our father as we are earthly parents to our children, so I'm certain he has moments of frustration with all of us.
Yeah. Like, you're doing that again? Really? Didn't I kind of lead you in a different direction?
I don't think we'd survive without God's grace. I really don't.
I agree.
We have children that require an immense amount of patience. And neither you or I were born with the gift of patience naturally.
I have quite a bit of patience, but once it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah, you definitely are more patient than I am, but your patience string is probably about half the size of mine.
Yeah.
It's a challenge. It's really hard, and the storms are constant. They don't stop, and God never promised that we would have a trial-free life. In fact, he did promise that we would have tribulation.
Yeah.
And the tribulation is, for me, what draws me more near to God. That's what brings me to my knees more often than not.
Yeah, without him, there are so many times he has pulled us out of a hole. That's for sure.
100%.
A scripture that ties into this is Mark 4, verse 39. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Be quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. So how does that speak to you? We'll start with you.
Be still is a message that God has spoken to me over and over and over a million times in life.
Yeah, I have heard you say that.
Yeah. So I am very guilty of my brain running 24/7. It doesn't stop. I think they even made a meme about it. Something that says that women's brains have like 247,000 tabs open at one time. I've seen something like that. And that's definitely me.
Actually, Pastor Libby has said that too. Which our Pastor Libby is female.
Yeah. My brain is never quiet. And I think that it's easy for me to make excuses about our lifestyle and say, oh, I didn't Bible study today. We were way too busy. Oh, I, you know, forgot to watch church service because I was too busy. And I'm not as diligent as I need to be. So I think that message, be still, really stands out to me because I need to ensure, no matter what, at any given point in a day, that I am still, because that is when God reveals.
Amen. And that's something that I've been struggling with lately, is keeping on reading every day. I've been doing it intermittently and just kind of falling off. So that's something I need to work on as well. I think we all fall into that. There's probably some that are such into the habit that they do read every day, but it took them time to get there. I think anyone could admit to that. So it's a struggle, and no one's perfect. But you know, the thing that speaks to me is, then the wind died down and it was completely calm. And to me, that's how Jesus brings calmness to your life. When he, when you ask for calmness, he will bring it to you. Just got to be patient.
Amen. And that brought up something for me, if I could address it really quick. When I heard you say that second time, and the wind died down and then there were calmness, all I can think of is one day will be mostly empty nesters. And
yeah.
The chaos and the tornado that whirls around us all day, every day, one day there will just be calm.
Something that I found that I'm not sure if it's a quote or not is, God isn't asking us to have it all together. He just asks us to trust him.
I love that. He doesn't expect us to be perfect. He knows we're going to sin.
Yeah.
That's big.
And when we have the presence of Jesus, and if we're really calling to him and, you know, doing what we're supposed to, he gives us peace. His presence brings upon peace. So some things that you can try to do is take a pause and breathe before reacting. And that's something I think I've been doing good at lately. There are times where I'm like, okay, babe, I need you to deal with this or I'm going to lose it. So I take a step back and I let her take care of it. Or she's like, hey, babe, I'm about to lose it. I need you to take care of it. So that's something that does help a lot. Another thing is to anchor in scripture or even a short prayer. Scripture is our sword, our defense. Well,
it's putting on the armor of God.
Yeah, it is what we can use to defend against what is going on. And our prayer as well is another thing that will pull us through what we need to.
I know you hear me a lot of times in a day say, Lord, give me the strength.
And then also, at a final note of that, is remember progress, not perfection. I think we all get too wrapped up in perfection. That's perfection is a myth.
It is. It's a lie.
There's really, really good, but there's no perfection. The only person that's perfect is who? Jesus. The Son, the Father, and the Holy Ghost are the only things in this universe that is perfect.
Amen.
So we just want you to know that you are not alone. We are here for you in the ways that we can. You can definitely reach out to us on social media. That will come at the end of the podcast. So don't worry. As long as you listen all the way through, you will find that. So next week, we are going to talk about joy in the little things, which will be the more positive side of what today's episode was. And we would love to hear from you, hear about your own storm stories, and reach out to us in any way that you feel comfortable. And so this is the time where this usually comes up. I would like to invite you to give your life to the Lord if you haven't. If you would like prayer, we will pray with you, for you. If you need to get in touch with a pastor, we can get you in touch with a pastor. And this is whether you already believe and have fallen off, or you are totally new to this. It will bring you peace. And if you're feeling that and you're feeling like, oh, I need that, that's God knocking at the door saying, hey, I love you. I want to show you what this peace is. So just a friendly handout to you, not a push, a hand, and we're here. So I just wanted to say that. And then Jen is going to close us out on prayer this week. Like I said, I would call her out in the last episode.
No problem. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask for your consistent grace and mercy. Father, when we're raising the children that you have entrusted us with, may you bestow wisdom upon us. May you bestow patience. May you bestow grace. It is an honor to be given your children to raise.
Amen.
And we ask for your consistent guidance. Lord, we ask that you might bless us in discipleship so that as parents, we are getting fed through you so that we can lead our children in your example. And we ask that you bless all of our listeners.
Yes.
So that way we continue to be the hands and the feet, Father. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. This is the end of the podcast. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast.